and I worked for Joe Bryan, the store. I was there 6 years until I was married. And all this while, that when ex-graduate came from Madison then we still would always go together. But these 2 years that he wasn't home, then I went out with another fellow, and Alfred Alvey, and he asked me if I would ever marry him. And you know what I said? My mother said, "You're Lutheran and I'm Catholic, and I have to cut it out." So that's the way it went. But then after that, I made up with X, and then we went another few years, and then he was in service. And we were engaged before he was in service. And then when he came home, we were married in 1919. That's so we had a wonderful romance.
Sounds like fun, from when you were 10 years old. Did you have some recipes you wanted to tell in Walloon, Pearl?
Tell in Walloon?
Is that book in Walloon?
It's in French. But they're Belgian recipes.
Maybe you can just tell a few of them, like if there's...
Well, yes, I think so. I think that's one of the translations.
Give me one to tell if they have...
There's some soup.
Yeah, but I can't read it.
Oh, you can't read it. Say,
my husband could, but I couldn't.
Can I read it and... It's, I'll read it, I'll say the well-known words. Now cut quarts a low and 2 pounds. How do you say pounds?
Two leaf.
2 beef. The beef. Beef. Un salade. Et un oignon. Et trois purios. Puria.
Leek.
Yeah, leek. Puria.
Purio.
Pomme d'amour. Et un petit peu de purcell. That's parsley.
Yeah.
Et trois carottes. Et ça fait des soupes.
That was what were those ingredients in English now?
Read them in English.
That's 4 quarts of water, 2 pounds of beef, one stalk of celery, one onion, 3 leeks, 2 tomatoes, and 1 bit of parsley, and 3 carrots.
And that was Belgian soup?
Belgian soup.
Huh.
You got a cake recipe or anything for me to give her?
What?
I wanted to ask you about folk medicine, and for instance, like, what did your mother do for you when you were little and you got a cold? What was the medicine and what was the treatment for that?
My mom, elle coupait des oignons, des tranches des oignons. Elle boutait des. Honey, how do you say honey?
Larm.
Elle boutait de brame de larme de soupe pour faire sucre. Alors donc, elle l'a eu fait un soupe pour toute l'année. Alors donc, elle boutait une couvette de ça. Alors donc, au matin, elle avait brame de juice de ça. Ça fait. Elle a donné un gros couille de ça pour nous. Et ça, c'est du brame, ça fait c'est vraiment comme des syrups. She used to slice onions and put honey on that and cover it up and leave it overnight. And then in the morning, it was juice, thick juice, syrupy, you know.
With the
from the honey and the onion, yes. And then she would give us a tablespoon of that, and my, that helped like everything.
Did it really? It got rid of your cold?
It really did.
What did your mother do, Pearl? You can say it in English.
In English. When we started out for school, my dad used to give us each of when the colds were about and flu, grip, they used to call it.
Yeah.
My dad would give us a piece of camphor to hold, or camphor gum to hold in our mouths.
Did he buy that at the store then?
Oh, sure, at the drugstore you could buy this in cakes or chunks. And but the minute we got outside, we spit it out.
Oh, did it taste bad?
The camphor gum is nasty.
Camphor's here, horrid.
It's kind of nasty. It's like mothballs. That's what mothballs. I think there's something else in mothballs, but that's the way it smelled. And
Once you did get a cold, what did your mother or dad do for it?
I don't remember much about that either.
I know that was one thing my mother gave us, this onion syrup.
And we had some Smith's.
There's some people who do that yet.
Oh, really?
I know that right
now. And you drink that syrup then, and that would cure it?
Smith's cough medicine, I remember, though. Smith's Brothers.
Where did you get that? At the
drugstore, I suppose, or someplace. Huh. I don't remember where.
Did the doctor come very often when the kids got sick? Never were that sick. Do you remember what your mother did for things like earaches or headaches or skin knees or blisters or bee stings or sore throats or mumps? Anything like that?
For mumps, I remember my mother used to grease us with stuff and then take a...
What sort of stuff?
Goose grease
or deer tallow. Mostly she used deer tallow. And then she put a home-knit sock around our neck.
Oh.
And that felt very good.
What did the goose grease or the tallow smell like?
Sort of icky, like... rancid or something like that.
Did it make your neck warm then?
But it did help. Oh. It did us if we had swollen glands especially.
Oh, I see.
Did you do any of that, Pearl? Your mother do any of that?
Well, they used to blow tobacco smoke, into a child's ear for earache cures.
Oh. Did that help?
Evidently it did. I suppose that the heat was good, you see. The smoke was warm.
My mother used to put oil in our ears.
Yeah,
oil. Oh, and how bad we were. Hot oil.
Sweet oil or
a sweet oil, they used to call it. But it had to be hot.
Yeah.
Oh, and
you didn't like that?
How we hated that.
That was for an earache?
That was for an earache.
Do you remember if your parents did anything for bee stings?
Mud. They put mud, wet mud down.
I don't remember.
Supposed to draw out the fever
poison,
or whatever it is. Poison.
What about skin, knees, or blisters? Were those just patched up?
Just put a rag around it.
A rag with some grease. My father had some kind of it was in a gray box, I can remember it. It was camphanated a little bit too, and boy, that stung.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Or Vaseline was real popular for most anything.
Do you remember if there were any really serious illnesses in your family that had to be taken care of?
The worst we had, I think, was smallpox and things like that.
What Children's was done for
disease.
That?
Our mothers just kept us warm and give us hot milk. That's all we ever got.
Quarantined?
Oh,
we were never quarantined, no. Were you?
What were you quarantined for?
Smallpox, too.
We weren't quarantined. We didn't have a doctor. That's probably why we were in quarantine.
Yeah. Who was your doctor, Mrs. Fashion?
Oh, I don't remember that either.
Ours was Donovan from Forestville.
He wasn't popular enough to be remembered.
What about sick animals? Do you remember what was ever done if a cow or a horse got sick or if injured somehow?
Liniment is all I can think of.
What was liniment?
It was a drug that they got from the veterinarian.
Or sometimes from the Watkins man.
Well, yeah, or the Watkins man.
I was just going to ask you. Well, I'll ask you about that later. About that. Mm-hmm. Did you have a veterinarian of any sort?
Once in a while, my dad did.
Yeah. Did he ever have to help?
Miller. His name was George Miller.
I was wondering if you ever had to help, like, with the birth of animals.
My dad used to. I remember that when the cow was having her calf. I knew that he used to help pull. You didn't have a farm, did you?
We had a farm, but I never had. But it wasn't a very big one. We just had a few.
Yeah.
Did you ever have to go out and help with the animals?
I didn't know. But my older brothers did.
What happened when a death occurred in the family and you lived out on the farm? How was the funeral handled?
In the house. The embalming was done in the house.
Who did the embalming?
Well, whatever undertaker, whoever the undertaker was. Well, we had undertakers in, too.
Then did you have a funeral or a wake?
Oh, yes, they had a wake. It seemed to me it was more like a party than a wake years ago. Everybody used to go, and they had everybody brought something to eat, and at midnight everybody made a lunch.
Oh, and they all stayed up all
night.
And they
stayed all night.
What sort of food
was brought? They take turns. Well, cakes, bread, just like you would. Mostly cakes and breads. Everybody made their own bread, you know.
But I suppose it wasn't like a party. It was a real sad occasion, or.
Well, yes, but I mean. People that were only not such close friends, they would get in one corner and talk and have all kinds of fun, seems to me. Because I know I used to think that was terrible. But they just, well, they were nice to stay. They stayed all night. They wouldn't go home till chores time in the morning. We see now they don't do that. And most people go to funeral homes. You don't do that anymore.
Do you think there are any families that still have a wake in the home and still have a body in the home?
My mother-in-law did, and that's only about 5 years ago, and she was 96. They still had her. She had always said she wanted Nelson Mustard.
Did they stay up all night?
No, till about 11 o'clock in the house. Then.
Did they ever have a wake at your house, Mrs. Fosh?
No, not that I remember. We didn't have any death in our family. In our immediate family.
Did you ever go to a wake?
Visited the people who had died, but at the home where the people had died, they used to put up, the undertaker used to hang a wreath on the door.
It was a black wreath.
You know, made out of what?
With a black ribbon on it. And
I imagine out of, like, we have Christmas wreaths.
How would
but
it
they
be
were
black,
artificial.
Though?
They were artificial. Mm-hmm. The undertakers sold those.
Were they made out of paper or plastic?
No, they were like greens, like starch
leaves.
Greens.
Yeah. You know, they're great big tough leaves.
Yeah, big leaves.
Eucalyptus leaves.
And they're black?
No, they were
They
dark
painted
green.
Them in some. Oh. Some of them painted them because my grandmother's did, I
know. I know, I've seen some black leaves.
Yeah. And then they had a big black bow like you would on a Christmas. Wreath,
and
you know, put a
women
red bow.
Used to wear these heavy, the mourners.
Veils.
Heavy veils on their hats. And the man would wear a piece of crepe around his sleeve for all a period of mourning, as much as a year or something.
6 weeks or a year, whatever. And
to show the people that they were mourners.
Yeah. I remember my grandma died, that my mother had a black veil on her head. You couldn't see her face. You couldn't see who she
was.
And my dad had a crepe on his left arm, on his coat.
Who usually made the coffin? Did the family? Or?
I think they were made, in my day, they were made just like they are now. Only not as elaborate, you know.
Oh, I see.
You'd get them right from the undertaker.
Yeah.
But I remember my folks telling where when there was a diphtheria, what else was it? It's an epidemic where the four children from one family died. Then the neighbors got together and built board caskets, and then they bring them to the cemetery at night without a
morning
ceremony or anything.
Why did they do that? So that the
wouldn't spread the disease and wouldn't contaminate
it. Nobody could go but the family.
What sort of ceremony and procession did they usually have with normal deaths?
Like they do today, very much, very similar to what we have
friends
today. Friends
following behind.
Friends following behind. The immediate family come next to the casket, and then friends follow. And then they go around the casket, you know, where the casket's going to be, where the grave is dug.
Yeah.
And then the priest is there, and he would say a few prayers, and then you would answer. Yeah.
Was the casket on a wagon or?
On wagons, yes.
Was the wagon or the casket draped in any way?
No.
When we came to town here, Mr. Schubick was the undertaker. Yes. And he had a hearse.
But he had a hearse.
That had...
That was an automobile or...
No, it had horses. When we first came to town, that was 50 years ago. And it was black and real shiny. And he had a team of black horses, and he had black fly nets on it, and on the horses, and the big long black tassels. And this hearse was glass. You could see the casket.
Oh, it was the wagon part was black.
It looked like a little covered wagon, but it was real fancy.
But it was
glass.
And they would have drapes in the front. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you could, in the middle you could see the casket, but they had drapes on either side. Black drapes.
Then in the winter, they took this top off of this cart, you know, off of the wheels, and put it on a sleigh. But they had the sleigh was painted black, and it had the team of black horses.
That's what Mr. Wiesner had, too, on the casco.
I think they all had
Well, I think that's all they had those days. But I did have a little brother that died as an infant, you know, died right after death. In fact, he couldn't urinate. He hadn't, there was no place for urinating. And my father made a little white box, a little box, and painted it white himself.
Yeah.
And I don't know, well, I know the baby died from that, but there was only the midwife was there. And I can still see, I was younger, but I could still see my father and mother crying so hard when they lifted up this little white box to put him on the cart to go on a wagon. Yeah. I can still see that. That always haunted me. But see, they had no hearse or nothing.
Did they bury
just a newborn baby? Yes, they took him to the cemetery. Church at Mizzier. But that must have been an awfully sad affair. Mm-hmm. I can always picture that. I wish I didn't.
Families had lost so many children like that in epidemics, you know, and that happened often.
Yeah. A lot of infants dying those days, it seems, doesn't it? Well, the women didn't always have doctors, you know.
Yeah.
Just had a midwife or a neighbor would come in, give a hand. Why, I couldn't do that. I couldn't give a hand to anybody who had a baby.
Yeah, I suppose back then they knew what to do. They had experience.
Sure, they had to.
Yeah. Were the caskets buried during the winter time too?
Or
was the ground?
Sure.
The ground was always...
Must have been because I know that ours was in February that time. You see, today we have these other places to put them until spring. Like my husband wasn't buried the day that he died, March 3rd, and he wasn't buried until April 1st.
I see. I wanted to ask you also about the peddlers and tinkers that came by. Did you have Raleigh or Watkins men come by?
Yes, we had Watkins, not Raleigh.
How about you, Mrs. Fashion? Did you have tinkers?
I remember when I was real little, we used to wait for those peddlers. They even had yard goods and shoes and
a lot of stuff.
Thread and.
I remember liniment only because I hated it, so they bought from the Watkins men.
And things like that, and maybe staples like nutmeg and things that
cinnamon
were kind of hard to get at the grocery. Stores, you know, the groceries.
How often did they come?
They only came in the summer.
Yeah.
They never traveled in the winter.
But in the winter, what we had was a fisherman. Came and smoked fish.
Oh, see, who was that? Do you remember what his name was?
To peddle fish. The Jardin.
Was he a fisherman? Or?
No, he was a farmer, but he did this for his living in the wintertime.
Oh, he did ice fishing.
Out of Brussels, out of Schroeder's dock, you know. Mm-hmm.
What sort of fish were they?
I think just plain, sometimes we had perch, and sometimes just plain white.
Herring, white fish?
Herring mostly, yeah.
Yeah, they used to smoke herring a lot.
Yeah, they'd have the smoked and the fresh, because they would fish out of the ice, and they would take that ice into a tub, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fish would be nice and fresh when you bought it from them. They probably were 2 cents a pound or something like that.
Gee.
I know we'd look for that in the wintertime for those men to come around.
Did you just eat the fish plain like that then, or were there some recipes that you could...
No, my mother used to clean them and then fry them. She had pork grease, you know, from pork.
Yeah.
And she'd roll them in flour and then fry them nice and brown. They were very good.
Yeah. Did your families ever do any fishing themselves?
My grandfather did, my ice fishing. Mm. They had a farm, but they'd fish in the winter. They lived right on the bay.
My family were all hunters, my boys and my father, just hunting. Oh. We had a lot of rabbit and all that kind of stuff, too.
I see.
They were just hunters, not fishermen.
At ice fishing, they used to take a horse out on the ice, you know, with a sledge. All their equipment, because they had boxes and nets, and then they had to haul the fish back. So they'd hitch a horse, and they sewed 2 horse blankets together so the... The horse had to stand on the ice all day. You know,
it was cold.
Yeah. Running, and it was cold out there. They had a shanty. They'd haul a shanty made of canvas, you know, where they'd rest and eat their lunch and go in there to get warm because they had a little stove inside. And they had, they sewed these horse blankets together and would hang the horse. The blankets would hang way down and made a tent for the horse, even something over its...
He'd be warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they ever have any trouble with cracking through the ice or breaking? Do you remember any stories that you're...
There always was a crack, you know, the ice moves with the wind, and there's always a crack near the shore, sometimes farther out.
Oh, did anyone ever fall in?
I guess there were. People lost horses, but I never heard of anybody that drowned, really.
No, I didn't hear of horses.
But the horses would, sometimes the horses would go down and couldn't get them out.
Oh, I suppose they'd either freeze to death or drown.
Drowned.
How would you go about pulling a horse out if it fell in?
In those days you didn't have the equipment.
They didn't have anything, you know.
You had no equipment to work with either those days.
Mm-hmm. I suppose if the horse was attached to the sleigh, too, it would be hard.
Yeah.
And then in the spring sometimes these fishermen would stay on too long and the ice would break up. You know, they'd be so busy working with their nets and things, and the ice would break up and they'd start floating out. And
how would they get back then?
Well, sometimes the boat would go after them, or they'd push another cake of ice, you know,
ice.
Somebody would have poles or something and to rescue them from the part that was moving fast. Or
it wasn't
it was
easy.
Really, no. A lot of worry for them women that stayed home. And
I said the women were the ones that did the worrying because they were out there and working hard at it. Where they were sitting home and worrying about them.
Yeah, it
was a terrible thing, I think.
Hmm. And they would go out.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know, just to rescue those nets. Although they were precious, you know, they were expensive. Yeah.
Did they make their own nets ever, or were they always...
Well, they strung their own nets. They buy them. The mesh part, and they string their own. We put the floats and the sinkers on them, you know, tie them on with a shovel.
It wasn't easy all those days, was it?
Guess not.
And most of the men who lived near the water did fish in the winter.
Well, they had to do something.
Yes, there wasn't enough income.
There was no income in the wintertime, you know.
Getting back to the Raleigh and the Watkins men, did you ever have any trouble with any of them? Like, were any of them ever thieves or anything?
We didn't. We had this Watkins man that came for years, this Jardine, and he used to make that the Midway House.
I see.
He stayed overnight there.
Yeah.
And he'd give us some of his material in pay, say vanilla or whatever.
Yeah.
It was worth how long he stayed or how many meals he had, you know. There was a bad storm. Well, of course, you had to stay over another night then.
Were these peddlers usually Belgians, or what nationality were they?
Well, this Desjardins was. I don't know. That's the only thing I know is the Watkins. We never had any other ones.
So they usually... Excuse me?
I remember a Jewish man, Mr. Katz was his name. He sold men's suits, men and boys' clothing.
Did he peddle this?
He peddled that. He lived in Green Bay. Everybody knew him. Goodness, if there was going to be a wedding or something, they waited till Mr. Katz came around so they'd have
to get something new.
So they were, the peddlers were pretty much all nationalities.
Yes.
But they were nice people, I think. Yeah.
I just, you know, I suppose maybe I'm biased because I've seen movies where they have evil peddlers, and I just wondered what it was like around here.
I think those days it was a little different, though.
Yeah, when they couldn't get home, and they couldn't because they drove horses, and they were too far from home. I don't think anybody hesitated at giving them a bed at night.
I know we didn't. We had different ones day.
And yours, you didn't have yours wasn't a motel or anything?
No,
or a hotel. It was just a regular
farm. Just that
farm.
Little log cabin, you know, on the farm that I told you about. Mm-hmm. Just a home, and then the kids would get a few more in one bed so we could give up one bed for whoever was there, see?
Did you ever give a bed to just a traveler who was coming through?
No, only these kind of men like this was in. I don't think there was much of that those days. Was there, Pearl?
No, people didn't.
People knew these that were coming because we expected them to come about that time, you know.
And I don't know who'd be traveling, walking or...
No, it's just someone that was doing something like that for a living.
Glad to see them because we live so far from the store, you know, and especially to get something.
Yeah.
I was wondering about fires. Was there much fire in houses or barns? And was there a fire department to take care of it when you were young?
No. The neighbors just came and poured water with pails, and that it from the well.
Were there a lot of fires?
No extinguishers, home extinguishers like you have today, you know. We didn't have any of that.
I don't remember many fires, though,
starting
from lightning. And then
we had a lot of chimney fire, you know. I mean, the chimney would get on fire, but nothing else. It never got, you just poured water down. No, I don't remember fires.
If the family's house did burn down, where did that family go till the house was rebuilt?
I don't know that, yes.
Yeah, but
people were so good to each other. They just took you in and thought nothing of it.
They depended on one another. Yeah. They had to.
They had to because
they wanted to.
And everybody was kind of poor, you know?
Yeah.
So they did all they could and give you whatever they could. And that had to be good enough, whatever it was, you know. You did the best.
If some mother died and there were children, somebody always took care of the children.
Sure.
They didn't have any...
They couldn't hire anybody, you know, to stay with the children, so the neighbors kept running in, and they'd bring food, and...
Or the relatives, and...
Would a big family of 14, then, go to maybe 5 different neighbors' houses, you know, 2 children,
maybe
at each
house? You
mean
if they had a fire?
Yeah.
I suppose so. I don't remember
any fire. I don't suppose one family could take a whole 14.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But we never had no fire.
Some of them
could
sleep out in the barn. They did that, I know.
Yeah, I suppose.
If they didn't have any... Like transients, like the peddlers of something, if there wasn't room, they'd be willing to sleep in the barn.
I've had peddlers here in Algoma.
Oh, really?
I mean, kind of trampish like, you know. And it was just this past summer that I had one, an older man, and he rapped at the back door. As a rule, my back door is locked. So I went out and looked, and here was a man sitting on a chair. I have a little chair out there that I sit when I work in the garden, you know, and I'll sit down every little while. And he was sitting there when I got to the back door, but I didn't take the little hook off the door. I talked through the screen door. And I said, "Were you looking for somebody?" And he talked very nice English, and he said, "No, I'm just plain hungry."
Oh, did you give
him
something?
And I said, "Could I bring you a sandwich?" And he said, "I'll come in." I said, "No, I'll get a sandwich." So I kept the screen door locked. And I went in the house and I made him a sandwich and I brought him a cup of hot coffee. And he went on his way. I don't know where he went from there.
Oh, he didn't say where he was going?
No, he didn't say where.
He wasn't selling anything?
I've watched him as far as I could, and he went toward Krieger's, where Krieger's lived, you know. So I don't know if he was a good man or maybe just was plain hungry and didn't know where to go.
Yeah, and you'd never seen him before.
I've never seen before or after. But that's, I wouldn't ask him to come in. I was willing to feed him, but I didn't want him in.
When the house burnt down, did the neighbors help rebuild it usually?
Oh, the yes, barns mostly. Mm-hmm. Barns burned down, though, more than anything years ago.
But I don't remember any houses burning.
No, I don't remember. But barns I do.
And
barns
they did. Filled it up, everybody
came. Everybody came, and everybody brought something.
And
everybody.
The women, women came too, and they
brought the
food and fed the men.
How long did it take to rebuild it?
Oh, quite a long time. But it seems with so many people, you know, one did this and one did that, and everybody brought their nails and their hammers and whatever was necessary.
Did it maybe take
planes and saws and whatever?
Yeah. Did it take about 2 weeks, maybe, or
longer than that? Because we had a neighbor I know that did, and the women would bring some food when it was eating time. There was plenty eating there because everybody brought.
Yeah, I suppose they couldn't work on it all the time. Did they work it on their spare time?
No, because they had their own farms. Everybody was a farmer, you know.
And they'd have a carpenter or two maybe to do the planning, you know. And, but those men were bright.
They knew what to do
because they had to be. They had to do it.
Sure. Nobody could afford a real carpenter. So everybody that was the best at it did the hardest part of the building, see?
Yeah.